This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight, the uproar over electricity tariff hikes for businesses.
First, we talk about how this will impact businesses trying to survive in the pandemic. Then, what else do businesses need right now at this exact moment?
So tell us, do you think that the government should prioritize the needs of business owners more right now? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07. All right. So the story that we're talking about today has its roots in an announcement, actually, that came through on January 28th, in which the government announced higher electricity tariff rates for commercial and industrial users effective February 1st. This is going to affect more than 1.6 million accounts. I think this was initially drowned out a little bit because, of course, the electricity tariff rebates for electricity tariffs is going to remain for domestic users. So I think generally people were really happy about that. However, this opens the question, of course, about how this will affect the business community.
And quite predictably, it is really from the business community that we're getting a lot of the criticism and pushback, because it's not been an easy year for most businesses and the kind of businesses that, if you think about and what electricity costs would add to their already tight margins at this point in time. So, for instance, the Small and Medium Enterprises Association of Malaysia, they've said that the hike will slow down the recovery of businesses, that prices of goods could rise, and that ultimately this would be passed on to the consumer, who would have to pay higher prices for services or goods that they've already been buying. DAP Secretary General Lim Guan Eng has proposed that this electricity tariff hike be reversed because it will impact a company's profitability and ultimately their survival. And he also essentially pointed out why the burden of this should be passed on to the consumer, just to shore up TNB's profitability. And the MTUC, Malaysian Trades Union Congress, has come out very strongly against this, essentially saying they've been asking for a raise on the minimum wage and not so much the hike to electricity, which is almost going in the opposite direction.
Yes. So I think that this is an important conversation to have, because overheads are an important element when it comes to thinking about business and when it comes to the kinds of profits and survival and clawing your way back, right, from the deficit of the pandemic. I think anything that eats into that is, of course, going to be unwelcome. Now, the question of how much this is going to affect people in ringgit and cents, I suppose, is going to be an important one if you think about the day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month costs. Whether this is going to be passed on to consumers, whether consumers are then going to be willing to pay those prices, whether they're going to just turn away from these sorts of businesses. I think there are all these things that come in. The backdrop of all of this is also why it is that electricity costs are going up, because world coal prices jumped to a record high of 1,300 ringgit per tonne last October. As of late January, it still stood at 950 ringgit per tonne, and 47% of our power generation is based on coal, which, again, I think is part of a larger conversation about our energy sustainability, whether we should be looking at alternative sources, especially when you consider how we are being impacted by factors like the rising price of coal.
I think it's easy to overlook something as basic as electricity when we talk about how businesses operate, right? When we talk about the cost of chicken rising, we can understand why a shop that serves you chicken would have to raise their price. But when we talk about something like electricity, something that's so common and used on a daily basis, we forget how that adds to a business's overheads, as you said. In fact, I had a conversation very recently with a couple of different business owners who all talked about raising the price of their products, largely in FMB, and the electricity hike was one of the things they talked about, electricity as well as the general cost of consumer goods as well. So to us on a very basic level, even if you don't care whether businesses are paying more for their electricity, it is ultimately going to come back to what we pay for things.
And then the other part of it, I'm sorry to keep branching off, but the other part of it is asking why the government is doing this right this second and whether there is a sensitivity to the needs of business owners, which is why we are asking the question, right? When it comes to the policies or initiatives that are being put out by the government, even the announcements, is enough being done to prioritize the needs of business owners right now? Do you think that the government should be doing more? That's the question. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be speaking with Sharon Raj, Infrastructure Policy Analyst. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's just about 6:13 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila, and we're talking today about electricity tariff hikes for businesses, basically for commercial and industrial users. This has kicked in this month, and we are asking you, because people are saying this is going to affect business owners, whether you think the government should prioritise the needs of business owners more right now. That number to WhatsApp is 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. So first up, we want to look at these tariffs a little bit more closely. And for that, we're crossing over to Sharon Raj, Infrastructure Policy Analyst. Sharon, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me today.
So this announcement from the government hasn't gone down well. What are your first impressions of this, and why is this surcharge increment being put in place?
Well, firstly, this was actually because of a heavy cost of Malaysia losing its energy sovereignty. And in fact, the surcharge was actually expected by me. In fact, I expected a bit more higher, but it came quite lesser than I expected. But when you look exactly why it happened was, in Semenanjung Malaysia, coal is used as baseload power plant, which means the power plant runs 24 hours, 7 days a week, nonstop, except for maintenance or breakdown. And we derive 2/3 of our coal from Indonesia, right? And coal provides 2/3 of our electricity, and 2/3 of that coal comes from Indonesia alone. And we can't really diversify from different countries because some of our coal power plants were designed specifically for coal from Indonesia quality. But what exactly triggered the price spike was actually, we can attribute to Donald Trump. Well, it may sound like a long shot, but in fact, he was the key reason we actually had a price hike. Because when you look in late 2020, China actually imposed an import ban on Australian coal and a lot of its imports from Australia into China. Okay, this was actually a retaliation when Australia echoed Donald Trump's call to investigate China for origin of COVID. So China retaliated, said, okay, we're going to stop importing a lot of things from Australia, including coal. And what China did was they imported from Indonesia. And Indonesia is actually one of the biggest producers of coal globally. In fact, it's the primary coal imported to Malaysia. It's to China as well as to India. So when China buys more coal, the global price starts going up. But this entire thing blew out of proportion when last year, Perusahaan Listrik Negara, which is the TNB's version in Indonesia, they had shortage of coal. So President Jokowi of Indonesia imposed a coal import ban. I'm sorry, a coal import limit. So prioritizing the coal first for the Indonesian market. And what happens because of that, you have a shortage of Indonesian coal in the global market, the price soared, and countries like India and China actually has higher purchasing capacity. So the price went up and we actually had to brunt the cost. And when you look, the last 6 months last year, the additional fuel cost TNB had to bear was 1.67 billion just to import the coal. And all of this because of some geopolitical issue between China, India, Australia, which we had no correlation at. We got whacked so bad because we lost our energy sovereignty, because some people 10 years ago, you know, 10 years ago, when they decided to opt for coal, they didn't think about the price tag of losing energy sovereignty, and which is now being paid by the people.
Before we move on, could you briefly explain how electricity tariffs are calculated for domestic consumers versus commercial?
Perfect. Thank you, Sharmila. When you look in Semenanjung Malaysia, TNB's tariff is calculated on a methodology known as imbalance cost pass transfer and incentive-based regulation. It is short form known as ICPT and IBR. So those who are a bit more interested on the details can actually Google it on this term. So what happens here was, when you look the cost to produce one unit of electricity, it costs about 39.45 cents per kilowatt. right? And if there is a fuel cost, is actually a variable cost. 1/3 of that cost is actually fuel. So in case the coal or the gas price goes up, you will get a surcharge. If the price comes down, you'll get a rebate. And this is only for the industrial and consumer sector. When you look why the domestic does not see in rise, is because of a scheme known as Kumpulan Wang Industri Elektrik. Okay, under this tariff scheme, what happens was TNB's revenue is capped. Contrary to popular belief, TNB cannot make unlimited profit. TNB's profit from the grid and the electric sales is actually limited. Anything more will be transferred to a government account known as Kumpulan Wang Industri Elektrik. And this fund is actually used to insulate the electric price rise from the consumer. So which is why when the price goes ups and down, the consumer price for domestic or residential is stagnant. But the surcharge would always be transferred for the industrial and commercial. So, and when the government said it was subsidizing, in fact, that is actually a false thing. It doesn't subsidize. Okay. The over revenue is used to cover a certain group or to protect a certain group. So it's not really a subsidy, because subsidy is when you conserve, it actually transferred from the government account into that. But this is consumers' money reused to control the consumers' pricing. So that is how domestic as well as commercial happen. Okay. And there is another notion, people say industrial and commercial, we pay high tariff to control, to cross-subsidize the residential, which is also not true. Because when you look at TNB tariff, the residential consume about 20-25% of the entire TNB's electricity, but they contribute over 20-25% of the revenue. So each group's electricity usage is correspond to their revenue. So that is how TNB tariff briefly is actually calculated.
So how will rising tariffs affect businesses which are really only just recovering or trying to recover post-pandemic?
This 3% surcharge is actually quite a very hefty one, because when you look last year, there was a 2 cents rebate, and now it went up by a 3 cents plus. So the total jump was actually about 5 cents. So that is a big jump compared to last year operating cost. And when you look at that, some business, their cost of operation should go up somewhere in the range of 12% up to a quarter. So that is quite a very big substantial jump. And when you look at that, they will definitely pass the cost. All right. So this will actually depress purchasing power, because when you have higher cost of goods, what happens is people will curtail consumption at one portion of it. Right. And this will reduce the consumption for certain companies, but essential companies will still have their consumption. And people are still going to buy certain goods, but people may reduce certain ones. And this will actually depress the overall economy on that. And the bigger hurdles would happen was the government is slated to increase the minimum wage this year. And businesses will definitely use the rising cost of electricity. They will definitely use the COVID as a reason for them to fight against the minimum wage. So the increase in electricity does not only affect the business in terms of lower consumption, but it also puts a hurdle on increasing the consumption power to minimum wage. So there will be a big ripple effect across the board. And in fact, this ripple effect may stay on for this whole year. And the biggest to conclude, the biggest effect of this thing is that we will see a lower economic growth this year.
A lot of this conversation has centered around the timing of this hike, right? Was sufficient time and preparation given to the various stakeholders? What could they have done better?
Well one thing first was, there was has been repeated warning about potential coal price and electricity tariff since even before COVID. But this was not actually this warning was not actually taken serious. That is one thing. And in Malaysia, people tend to only react when the crisis arrives. Whether you talk about the Selangor floods, whether you talk about terrified, people actually react when this thing was happening. In fact, Suruhanjaya Tenaga has been talking for the last 2 months of last year that electricity price is imminent. All right. But nobody actually really take them serious until the tariff actually hits your home bill. So whether the Malaysia, there was enough time for the stakeholders, the warnings has been given, the symptoms were there, but no one actually really took serious until it happened. This is more of a Malaysian culture. We don't really take it serious until the crisis comes.
So, we keep talking about coal, right, in relation to this issue. Why are we so heavily dependent on coal, even though we don't have active mining?
Actually, this thing happened because our former Prime Minister Najib, on a basis of few calculator calculations. When you look just before the Asian financial crisis, the gas price was reaching an all-time high at that time. Contrary to popular belief, Malaysia is not really a petrol country. We are a natural gas or fossil gas country. So we export our fossil gas. In fact, it's a big revenue for us. But, and we were using half of our gas production for power plants. And the mathematics and the economic was it, let's export our natural gas at a high price overseas and import cheap coal from other countries. And at that time, coal was hovering below 200 ringgit per ton. Okay, so this was the calculation done anything. So the entire energy security narrative changed from being fuel sovereignty becoming to the cost of sovereignty. So you export high fuel, high domestic fuel, and you import cheap there. This was valid until 2014. And from 2014 onwards, the coal price starts soaring. Okay? From 200, it had reached to 400 just before COVID, and today it has topped up to 800. So four times more than what we projected. And if you look, in the last decade, during the time of Najib, they actually increased coal penetration slightly below from 10% to nearly 2/3. We built a lot of coal power plant within a short period of time. And Malaysia today is one of the biggest importer of coal, all on the pretext of let's export our gas at a high price and import the coal at a low price, and that will be the energy sovereignty. But the reality is you cannot play numbers in this. You need fuel sovereignty. So we lost the fuel sovereignty on basis of you think we'll get a higher dividend from Petronas, which never happened. So this was the mistake. And this was actually done in the last of 10 years. And now we are seeing the impact for a decision made something less than slightly over 10 years ago.
Now, given that coal really isn't the cost-effective option anymore, why isn't Malaysia seriously looking at alternative energy sources, nuclear or solar, for instance?
Power plants, they are actually designed to operate for 21, 25 years. You don't really shut them down the next day, that's one. So it's a long-term planning. And when generation planning or building power plant is done based on three main conditions, what we call energy trilemma. We call it on the cost effective and economic subject. We talk about the fuel supplies and its reliability. And then we talk about its environmental benefits. So we have to factor within these three things. We have tried to balance what we call this energy trilemma. And when you look things like solar, Malaysia does not really have a smart grid yet. So our solar penetration cannot be more than 25%. So which is still under about 3000 megawatt. So not really a lot of space, and we need to upgrade our grid to smart grid to go beyond that. And when you talk about nuclear, we do not have the technology sovereignty. We don't have the fuel sovereignty for it. Okay, we don't have the technical expert for it. So whatever we need to operate nuclear, we have to bring from overseas. So that will be a very, very high cost to it and environmental on that sense. So nuclear actually does not fit in any of our three energy trilemma. Although at one point it was considered, but later on basis of economics as well as public retaliation, it was dropped. But and the very fundamental issue now was our growth in renewable energy over the last half a decade has actually been quite depressing for non-solar. So although we have potential for biomass, for biogas, the development in this has been very, very slow, and it did not came fast enough to offset the coal price.
Let's talk about what we are aiming to do, or saying that we're aiming to do. We're striving to be an energy neutral nation by 2050. Are we on track at the moment to achieve this?
Oh, no, we are definitely not anywhere close to on track. In fact, we'll miss it by a wide margin on that. I actually went through the SEDA's Renewable Energy Roadmap for 2035. As much as it was a quite good report, but it was under-ambitious. And if you prorated beyond that, except for East Malaysia, I think Peninsula Malaysia will definitely be off track. And Peninsula Malaysia contributes to about 80% of our energy there. We will definitely miss it by a wide margin, actually.
What can we do to achieve this milestone? What do we need to be doing?
Well, one to be need doing was actually there needs to be a political commitment besides the political announcement. We make a lot of good political statements, but we do not back it with proper policies in that matters. Yes, we want to aim to become energy neutral, carbon neutral by 2050, but we do not actually have proper target to it. That's one part of us saying we want to be energy neutral, okay? But yet we are considering building more gas power plant. We want to actually become energy neutral, but we don't want to invest in public transport. And we say, you know, let's put more cars, but let's put more electric cars. So the power for the electric cars comes from a power plant, you see. So instead of from your car exhaust, it becomes your chimney. Although it has a lesser carbon, but it's not a bigger saving compared to public transport. So our political statements and our political policies actually contradict to each other. So first of all, I think we need to make policy matching to that. And it is more important that we actually put a legislative backing. the fact that a lot of our policy does not have a legislative backing or a backbone, it will change every time the minister changes because it becomes a minister discretionary power. So you keep on saying everything changes when the minister changes, right? So when we have something, we need to put it on law. So no matter if the government changes, they are bound to follow that particular target. So that is more important. The political statement must translate into political legislative, which will later become translated into political policy, or else it just becomes a rhetoric.
So we just have a minute and a bit left with you. In closing, what do you want to see from us, from Malaysia, when it comes to exploring more efficient energy sources?
One of the main efficient energy sources that has not been discussed in Malaysia is energy efficiency. In fact, the last Malaysia had a serious conversation was with is the former energy minister, Yeo Bin. She took energy efficiency quite seriously. And energy efficiency is quite good because it actually reduces our energy consumption. It actually increases our economic intensity for per unit fuel. Sorry, it increases our economic intensity. So that needs to be talked about because when you reduce energy consumption, the numbers of power plants reduce. You don't have to build more power plants. It's not about building more renewable plants. It's building the right amount of plants. So energy efficiency actually matters. And in fact, you can actually make a lot of savings from energy efficiency. Right, some of our malls, like you talk about One Utama, the amount of energy it consumes is actually equivalent to a town. So energy efficiency in this kind of area, our cement plants, steel, smelting. So these are high energy usage factories and industries. So if you focus some energy efficiency there, we focus on introducing energy efficient standards for household appliances and making it mandatory, we can actually save energy a lot of that and reduce our electricity demand. We can actually reduce the numbers of power plants. So the first fundamental question when we have is not about alternative energy source, it's about avoiding the energy source at the first place. So this will be the most efficient energy source, which is energy efficiency.
Sharon, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Sharon Raj, infrastructure policy analyst, weighing in today on this issue, not just of the tariff hikes that we're talking about, but also the larger landscape, really, of Malaysia and our power sources. We'd like to hear from you. We're talking about this because the government has announced higher electricity tariff rates for business users, essentially, effective this month. And with that, should the government prioritise the needs of business owners more right now, considering the timing of this announcement? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Build fairer Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And today we are talking about electricity tariff hikes because the government has announced higher ones for commercial and industrial users. In other words, business owners, business premises. And this is kicking in on February 1st. So it already has. It's expected to affect more than 1.6 million accounts. And we've heard some outcry over this from the business community, people saying that this is not what's needed right now when people are just looking to survive, to try and turn a profit. So we'd like to hear from you. Do you think the government should prioritize the needs of business owners more at the moment? What could that look like? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we do have a message here from Lok.
So Lok says, I've asked this before. How come the rakyat seems to be the catch-all safety net? It's as if the rakyat has tons of spending power. Our income has already been stagnant for the past 20 over years. Decision makers in Malaysia seem to have the uncanny ability to kill the goose that lays the golden eggs. Already 250,000 SMEs have died off.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good point, particularly because sometimes these sorts of spend local or make sure that you go out there and support your local businesses right now, it does a couple of things, right? A, it presupposes that I haven't already been doing so when I think most of us have been very focused on supporting local businesses, actually. But the other part of it is also, I think sometimes that idea that we have this money to spend as opposed to larger systemic things being in place, better loan structures, I don't know, more grants, things like that. The assumption that it's down to the spending power of the people can sit uncomfortably.
It goes back to the same sort of double whammy of the Kita Jaga Kita movement and all, right? Where yes, there's plenty of rakyat will, I want to say, to support small businesses or local businesses. But that cannot be enough and that cannot be the safety net.
Which is why I think we wanted to put the focus on the government and whether or not they're being sensitive enough to the needs of business owners at the moment and what else we'd like to see in this area, right? So WhatsApp us your thoughts, 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, though, we want to try to focus on this question beyond the issue, of course, of electricity, though it is important, and taking a wider look at the needs of business owners at this particular point in the pandemic. Joining us to talk about that is Dr. Erwin Cheong, co-founder of Industries Unite. Dr. Erwin, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for having me.
So at this point in the pandemic, most businesses have reopened with SOPs. What are you hearing from them in terms of recovery?
Yes, majority of the businesses has been reopened with SOP. However, currently reopening doesn't mean that immediate recovery, right? Now, after almost 2 years of lockdown, of course, the market is very slow. And of course, we are talking about people not spending. That is actually the issue because the pot is empty at a moment in time. So that is the ultimate issue in the market today.
So for businesses that are making up for losses, that are struggling with all those issues that you just mentioned, what are some areas of focus right now?
Yeah, right. Right now, the focus of the businesses are very much about sustaining and also survival, right? But of course, until there is intervention in terms of initiatives, where we talk about the local market, is also driven not only by the local spending, but also by international spending as well, investors, relations, and many more. So we hope this could be something that the government and private sector can actually look into more in depth so that we can expand the pot, expand the the cash flow that is unavailable at the moment in time. So that is the critical issue at hand.
So as you say, cash flow, this pot, right, seems to be the main challenge. I suppose the question here is there perhaps not a solution, but, you know, are there things that could be looked at here to make this a little bit easier, to give a little bit of space, breathing room?
Well, as much as we mentioned about, there's this saying, you know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, it's called insanity, right? For years, we have heard of increased taxes. You know, we have actually have local state government adamant about taxing even public performers, you know, at least 15% entertainment tax, you know, in advance where they are out of business for almost 2 years. And of course, increasing taxes and tariffs where the pot is already empty, it's quite unlikely going to give us a better result. So last time is different, where foreign investments and more and international spendings are locally is striving. But now, currently, there isn't any. So it's very much about government and private sector coming together to see what's next for us moving forward. Right. I mean, we have heard so many things like other countries, I don't like to say this, but if you look at Korea, Korean government has actually spent so much on to sell its culture and its music. Look at Singapore. Right now, they are even improving the way of how they are actually increasing the financial centers as well as the Asia integration. And recently, a couple of months ago, Thailand has announced its promotion of travels for safe bubble, you know, green bubbles traveling, right? And of course, if you look at Indonesia, has actually set up plans and stimulus package for foreign investors to come in to set up their factory. But question is, what about Malaysia? We are not doing as much as marketing as possible during this time where we needed it the most. And if we don't do it right now, we are going to lose out in the whole ecosystem of Asia.
So if I may expand on that a little bit, so far we've been focusing on survival, right? But in terms of heading towards a full recovery and being able to even think about growing again, what do businesses need?
Of course, business need many things, right? But of course, many of the businesses has transformed, right? And if you can see, a lot of the businesses has removed themselves from retail segment. And a lot of the businesses has actually pivoted in other areas and forms as well, right? Like, for example, they have gone digital, right? Without doing it with the retail front. Or however, marketing is still a great concern. You know, every time when we are doing this, marketing is always still a great concern. You know, so I feel that now is the time that for us, as not only for private sector, but also the government, where we integrate this thing together. As much as we heard so many things coming from the government saying that there's so many stimulus packages and so on and so forth, the question is, how much more of this stimulus package is going to help us? Because the more stimulus package is coming, we always ask this question, where does the money come from? And is it going to devalue our ringgit Malaysia in the long run? So that's the question we have to question ourselves.
We're speaking today with Dato' Erwin Cheong, co-founder of Industries Unite, essentially about what businesses need at the moment. After this, we're going to continue our conversation. We'd like to hear from you, though. What else could the government be doing? That seems to be the perennial question. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent manoeuvres, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:47 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're looking today at the announcement that there will be electricity tariff hikes for businesses this month. And, you know, that has meant business owners are saying, how are we supposed to sustain this, right? What are we supposed to do with those added costs? Which has us wondering, on a larger basis, what's needed right now for business survival? So we'd like to hear from you on this. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, continuing our conversation about business owners and the initiatives or things that, you know, you would hope to see, is Dato' Erwin Cheong, co-founder of Industries Unite. So as mentioned, the criticism over raising electricity rates has again opened up these questions of government support. Before we get into the idea of what else they could be doing, I wanted to hear from you. When it comes to electricity rates, what are you hearing from members of the business community on this issue? Is it going to hit everyone hard?
Well, thank you, Lynn. For this question, it's quite interesting because when we heard the announcement, it was a shock to all of us. And of course, we do have the ministry saying that government would give an assurance that the new rate will not burden the people, especially domestic users, right? And that's account to about 85% of the business, domestic users, where 15% is business users. Well, let's put it this way. If we want to highlight based on observation, we noticed that, of course, in November 25th, NST and the Star has even published that Tenaga Nasional makes 1 billion net profit in Q3. They were making so much money. And right now, with this increase, what more you want to squeeze from the public? But let's say if you say that, okay, it's only 15% to the businesses and it doesn't affect end user. Well, I got two answers here. Yes. Directly, it does not affect the individual household because your electricity bills is going to maintain the in terms of the rate. But however, indirectly, it will affect. Why? Because business impact the economy and the economy impact the inflation rate. And when prices of cost increase in raw material, the businesses or the business has no choice but to increase their prices to cover their costs. So task prices will increase. Therefore, it will impact all users and the whole nation is going to suffer based on that. I mean, just give you an example. I can give you an example of scenarios. Like today you go to a quick cut, you know, a haircut anywhere in any shopping malls. The price right now is about 20 to 25 ringgit, but it's barely surviving at this moment in time. But with this increase, I think business owners would probably have to increase it by 30 to 35 ringgit. Or a quick cut. The question is, would you pay for 35 ringgit for a quick cut? That's the question. Yeah. And if business owners are not increasing, it will actually affect them. And what's the point of having business where you can't even make, you know, survival based on that? Yeah.
So getting back to that question of survival then, I mean, I think it's time to ask the obvious question, really. What sort of government initiatives would be helpful at this stage?
Well, of course, today we ought to learn how to help each other in terms of kickstarting the business rather than taxing the people or taxing the businesses, right? Kickstarting the economy by bringing in foreign investments and international spending so that we are able to grow the pot together. I think this is utmost important for all of us to really focus on at this moment in time. And from the various business associations that we represent, 120 of them, trade associations and chambers of commerce, we are ever ready to work with the government to bring in benefits, not only for businesses, but also consumers. And in the long run, it will help the government. So we just hope, you know, we look forward, we hope that the government could really listen and work with us so that we can actually build this pot together and bring the economy to where it was before, as what Malaysia used to be. Right. Thank you.
So if we move away from purely government policies and you know, what you just talked about, is there a role for other members of the private sector to play here?
Yes, in fact, some of our members are actually involved in this Economic Action Council, right? It's called the EAC. And there is a lot of meetings that has been done in this EAC. However, so far, at the moment in time, we could see a lot of initiatives and projects that is being mentioned, being said, but there is no implementation, laksana. You know, that is the thing. The most important thing is about laksana. Bila nak laksana? So when are we going to implement it? So if we're going to wait another 6 months down the road or 1 year down the road to implement it, we wouldn't be able to survive by then. So every single day is a survival for everyone. So I believe it's very much about looking at survival here, meaning that people are dropping off every single day. You know, people are losing their jobs every single day. So if we are really critical about this matter, we need to act fast and we need to act now. And that's what we are calling for to the government. Thank you.
Dato Owen, in closing, what advice would you have for businesses that are trying to survive today?
Well, in businesses right now, the good thing is that majority of the members has actually reached out to us as well as to reach out to its respective associations, trade associations, and also Chamber of Commerce. I think now is the time that all of us, we are really like a family together right now. You know, there's no competition. It's very much about helping each other, trying to survive and trying to make a living, you know, in other words. In fact, my co-founder, Dr. David Gurupatham, has actually initiated something called the Project Satu Hati, where those who are in need of food, and you don't need to, you know, worry about if you don't have food, just raise up your hand and we will be able to send food to you. So these are the things that we are actually initiating at this moment in time. So don't worry, you know, don't be ashamed that right now we cannot survive, because there are many other people that is able to help, and we are ever willing to help the business community as well as the rakyat.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was Dato' Erwin Cheong, co-founder of Industries Unite, weighing in on what it is that businesses need in this moment in order to survive. We'd like to hear from you. Share your thoughts with us. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.